Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
1-800-Flowers, Mother's Day is Sunday. Two dozen multicolored roses, $29.99. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter the radio icon, H-E-R-D. One of the things I love about football, we've talked about this, half of the NFL, half, is undrafted. That's unbelievable. In the NBA, once you get past the 13th pick of the first round, it gets pretty slim. But there are great high school and college players everywhere, and people overlook them. Rashawn Slater was only offered by three programs. Illinois, Kansas, and Northwestern. No Bamas, no Ohio States. He walks on to Northwestern, starts day one. Great player for 3 years. He opted out this year, but he had so many starts banked at Northwestern, it didn't hurt him at all. And he is now joining us live, the Chargers' new left tackle, Rashawn Slater. You know, it is amazing. So you go to college, you get overlooked by everybody, and we always talk on our show about how quarterbacks, they got a chip on their shoulder, Brady was overlooked, or Dak was overlooked. Nobody, you didn't get all the big dogs coming after you. Do you believe that absolutely, Rashawn, made you a better football player and made you work harder?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I kind of feel like it played in my hand just because my whole life I've kind of been used to being looked at as an underdog. In high school, we didn't really win many football games, and so our program wasn't recruited very heavily. And then, you know, Northwestern, a lot of people perceive it to, like, be one of the weakest teams in the Big Ten when really we're not. I feel like it definitely put a chip on my shoulder, and just the way I prepared has kind of always been based off of the way that I felt like I had to, like, show everyone that I was better than they thought.
Now, you did opt out. I had a general manager tell me it didn't matter with you. You had so many starts. You were a good, smart kid. But was there part of you take me to the day you opted out. Were you sitting there? You talk it over with your parents. Did you think to yourself, man, I'm going to make the NFL. Is this going to hurt my draft stock?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely went into the conversation. Well, initially, the decision was kind of made for me. And so from there, when the Big Ten canceled, I started training immediately. And then, but when it came time that they reinstated it, I talked to my parents and my coaches at Northwestern and then my teammates. And it was such a hard decision, but we ended up just deciding, like, hey, if I weigh the pros and cons, like, there's a lot of uncertainty around the season, and I know the training is going really well. So I ended up deciding to keep training, and it worked out.
I know sometimes general managers will tell me things, but I'm not going to say them yet because those are sources for me. So I know the Chargers, there was two people they wanted, and you were one of them. But I didn't think they were going to get you because I thought you were going to get drafted before. So as you started dropping, I thought, oh my God, because Tom Telesco is a friend of mine. And so I'm thinking, they're going to get this kid. So did you have a sense the Chargers liked you?
I didn't. Or at least not more so than any other team, because we never talked. In the pre-draft process, I talked to almost every team, but the Chargers was not one of them. And so I knew they wanted an O-lineman, but I just didn't know it was going to be me.
You've played left tackle. You've played right tackle. You're one of these guys. You could probably play center. Would you prefer to be a left tackle, and if so, why?
Yeah, I definitely prefer to be a left tackle. That's where my best ball has been played so far in that 2019 season. I feel like I have that versatility to play any position, but if you ask me what feels the most natural, it's left tackle.
So before you got drafted, so people thought you were going to go like 8 or 9, and then all of a sudden it's 10, and all of a sudden it's 11, and all of a sudden it's 12. Was there a moment when you're like, I'm not going to be the guy that falls in the first round, am I?
A little bit. But, like, the whole, like, mentality I had going into the draft was I'm going to end up in a place where I can excel, and I'm not going to try to set expectations. And so there was a little bit of fear in the back of my mind, but at the same time, like, I didn't really want to let it show or let it come out. And so before I knew it, like, it was kind of flying by too in my head. So before I knew it, I was getting that call and that fear was gone.
What, you're right now training down in Sugar Land, Texas, and you're from Texas. You go up to Northwestern. What a life. Texas, you go down to Chicago, which is a great American city. Now you're out to Los Angeles. Have you been to Los Angeles before?
Never. I've been to San Diego, but I don't know how different it is.
It's a little faster than San Diego. But the weather is the same, but it's a little faster. But you're going to be doing a lot of football. You don't have to worry about that. Have you seen now, I don't know if you know this, but they've got a really good quarterback. His name is Justin Herbert. Have you seen him? Have you heard about him?
Oh, come on now. Of course. If you look at my search history right now, I was watching his highlights like yesterday, just like getting real excited about the offense and what we're going to be able to do. Obviously, I know like we have a lot of tools. You know, having Justin is huge, and then just a lot of vets on the O-line. So like, I feel like it's such a great situation to be going into.
Yeah. What kind of offense do the Chargers run? I mean, do you think they play for your style? Does it work?
Yeah, I definitely think so. We talked about running a lot of, you know, outside zone, letting the playmakers make plays and setting up play actions off that. And so, absolutely. That's a lot of what we ran. Northwestern was outside zone, too. So, I feel like it's a great fit.
Well, this is exciting for you and your family. So, when you'll probably get out here. By the way, SoFi Stadium's brand new. That's nice. Your quarterback's good. The weather's good out here. When you were – after you get drafted, bro, high five to the commissioner, and it's done. What's it been like for your family? Just it's a generational change. What's it been like for your family?
Oh, it's been really cool. Honestly, like that might have been, outside of getting drafted, the highlight of draft weekend was just being able to be around them and like see how proud they were of me. It was unreal, and I'll never forget it. You know, I'm so glad that we were able to like just do it all together in person, but it's been incredible.
Hey, man.
And like my mom and my brother are probably like the most diehard Broncos fans ever. And just growing up, that's all I've seen. And then the other day, I kind of had the realization that now they're Chargers fans, and they just completely dropped the Broncos fandom. So that was probably the coolest thing for me to see.
Broncos. Who needs the Broncos? Broncos are nothing, right. Baby. They're nothing. Rashawn, congrats. I hear nothing but amazing things. Your life's going to change. It's already been amazing from what we can tell, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet. Rashawn Slater, there is just everybody loved him. He's an opt-out where, like he said, the Big Ten made the decision for him.
Yeah, I think a lot of players got in that situation. Like he said, he started training for the NFL, and then
it was going well.
Season's back. Like, yeah.
What's the point?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
That's pretty crazy. He's never been to Los Angeles.
Well, Sandy, when you live out like in Texas, San Diego is more beachy, like it's more laid back.
Yeah.
Like when I lived out east, I would take my family not to L.A. but to San Diego.
Oh no, I went to L.A.
food.
I think twice before I even moved here.
Yeah,
but
you go to the
beach.
You live
on the East Coast, you're not really making it to L.A. unless you have like a
business.
Real reason or business to go there. Yeah. But that's a big life change. So Tom Brady obviously has 7 Super Bowl rings. But he came up short on one accomplishment that he really wanted, the perfect season. His Patriots were 18-0, lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants in the 2007 season. I've never rooted harder for a team I generally didn't care about than I did for the Giants in that Super Bowl.
That's unfortunate.
Well, look, you know, Dolphins don't have a lot, but we have that 72 season, so I did not want to see the Patriots win. During the NFL's draft-a-thon this weekend, Shannon Sharp asked Brady if he would trade 2 of his rings for that one Super Bowl win to complete the perfect season. And he nodded and said, I would. But I guess when you have 7.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. If you had 9 Mercedes, I can give one up to have the perfect one.
Yeah, it's like asking a guy, you know, would you trade that one Super Bowl win for, you know, the Hall of Fame or something? Like,
either way.
Yeah, when you have 7, it's like, yeah, I can throw 2 away and, you know, get the perfect season.
Yeah.
Make that trade. But that's a conversation you only have when you're Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So the Giants upgraded their offensive weapons this offseason in both free agency and the draft. And they're hoping these additions will help Daniel Jones take his play to the next level this season. GM Dave Gettleman said this will be a big jump. This is the year two to year three that Daniel should really make a major stride. We're looking forward to seeing him thrive.
I think that's fair. Give him, I said, go to Thanksgiving. What do I have at Thanksgiving? The Giants will know in the building. I'll say this. If he cuts to, if at the end of last year he cut down on his turnovers, then he looks like he's a player.
Daniel Jones is one of your things this season, right? Like, Daniel Jones, you're going to make a decision by him about him on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, I'll know if Daniel Jones. We'll have a big Daniel Jones make a decision party on Thanksgiving at our house.
And you're not going to criticize Aaron Rodgers if he loses to the Buccaneers?
Can't. Doesn't have the resources.
There was one other thing.
There was a bunch of new rules on the show. I can't remember.
Who's that? Said you're not moving again. I don't believe that. We'll have to give that one a couple years. We'll give you the grade on that rule in a couple years, just like the rookie quarterbacks.
Okay.
Well, they did make a lot of free agency moves. Moves this offseason, I should say. Kenny Golladay, obviously, John Ross, Kyle Rudolph, Adoree Jackson, and they did take a wide receiver in the draft as well. So they are clearly building around him. They're clearly leaning into him, which they should do. I think he's going to take a step up this year. They also have Saquon Barkley back, which is going to be massive for him.
Their O-line's not great, but their left tackle they drafted last year, Thomas, I actually liked him. He was hit and miss. So if he gets backside protection, he's got the weapons. I love their defense. I love the Giants' defense.
So finally, Carmelo Anthony passed Elvin Hayes for 10th on the NBA's all-time scoring list last night. He hit a three in the second quarter to move into that spot, and he raised his arms quickly to acknowledge the accomplishment. After the game, Blazers coach Terry Stotts presented him with the game ball, and Melo gave a quick speech to his teammates.
A couple years ago, I didn't think I was going to be in this moment right now. I was out the league for whatever reason. I'm back. I persevered. I stayed strong, stayed true to myself, and now I'm here in the top 10. So thank you.
Oh, that's very nice. You know, Elvin Hayes doesn't get any love. When I was a kid, my Sonics in Seattle played the Washington Bullets at the time. Elvin Hayes is a top 10 college player of all time and is honestly one of those guys nobody ever talks about. God, he was great. But Melo, you know, Melo's big knock is going to be he didn't win enough, but he scored a lot. And there's room for that in basketball. There's been a lot of greats. George Gervin was a great scorer. He didn't have a lot of rings.
Sure. I mean, that's similar to the Westbrook conversation. Like, there are guys who have incredible skill and incredible talent and doesn't always necessarily translate to rings. And they've been on good teams and had moments, but weren't able to get a ring. And that's not saying that Carmelo won't. Like, who knows how much longer he's going to play for and where he ends up. But certainly a Hall of Famer and has had an unbelievable career. And it's nice. I like the speech because it is true. I mean, everyone had given up on Carmelo just a few years ago, and he completely transformed his body, waded through that storm with the league, and now he's, you know, top 10 all-time in scoring.
Karl Malone, no titles. Carmelo, no titles. So 8 of the 10 have a bunch of titles. I think Moses has one. He may have two. I forget. Karl Malone, second leading scorer, no titles. He had the misfortune of dealing with the best team ever, though, in most of his. He was favored with the Lakers to win one, and then Kobe and Shaq started not getting along. Karl Malone was great for a long time, and he just. Karl Malone may go down as played on the most good teams without a title.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
Jazz were good for 15 years.
Unbelievable talent, unbelievable career. It's very hard to win titles. I think we sometimes forget that. It's very difficult to win championships.
It is. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
So a lot of people gave up on Carmelo Anthony. I did not. Sorry. I'm just kind of a jerk. All right. Best for last. The rookie over and unders. I'm going to make some prediction. You can bet these over and unders on rookie performances coming up this year in the NFL.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking what? What in God's name is the fifth hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the fifth hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. HustlerTurf.com. HustlerTurf.com. The 2021 draft took place over the weekend. First round, a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of Alabama players. We have odds, all of them provided by FoxBet, over-unders. That means, do you bet over the number or under the number that FoxBet provides? Here we go.
Will Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence have over or under 22.5 touchdown passes this season?
He will have over that. We've had seven quarterbacks that have done that. Last year, Justin Herbert had 31. Baker Mayfield was over that. And let's be honest, they're going to trail Joy in a lot of games. So he's going to be playing second halves trailing. They went and got a running game. They'd ideally like to take away. They don't want him throwing 40 times a game. My guess is they trail a lot, and he will. So I think he's over 22 and a half touchdown passes.
Will Trevor Lawrence have over or under 13.5 interceptions this season?
It'll be really, really close. I would guess slightly more. Again, they drafted a running back in the first round, and they already have one. They'd like him to throw about 26 times. I don't think he's going to have a ton of interceptions, but he benefited from a great O-line and great receivers at Clemson. Now he's going to be trailing. He's probably going to have to throw over 30 times. There's some decent pass rushers in that division. So I think he's going to have a lot of touchdown passes and a lot of picks year one.
How about Jets quarterback Zach Wilson over under 13 and a half interceptions this season?
Easy over. First of all, he's going to start 17 games. Is he going to have one pick a game? It's also the best defensive coach division in football. Belichick's going to eat him alive. Flores is going to eat him alive. Buffalo's defense isn't great, but McDermott's a defensive coordinator. So his offensive line is okay. I do think their first-round pick, the left tackle from USC, the left guard, was a good pickup. But you're going to have him start 17 games, best defensive division in football. He's going to throw picks.
Justin Fields, Bears quarterback, over under 11 and a half starts this season.
I think it's under 11 and a half starts. I'd put the number at about 9. They made the playoffs last year with Trubisky. They can certainly be competent with Andy Dalton, who has a career-winning record. Cowboys last year, if you count that Giants win that Andy came in after Dak got hurt, were a 500 team. So they'll be competent. The question's going to be, if Minnesota's better and Green Bay starts pulling away by late October, do they look for some spark with their offense? So I'd say he starts 8 or 9 games.
Will Steelers running back Najee Harris have over or under 900.5 yards this season?
That's an easy one, under 900 yards, under. First of all, he's not a big play guy. At Alabama, he had 638 carries. He only had 2 in college over 40-plus yards. That's not what he is. He's not Adrian Peterson or Zeke. He's going to give you these big pops. The other thing is, I don't think the Steelers' offensive line right now is very good. They didn't run the football well last year or the year before. So I think he'll be steady, but I don't think he'll be as spectacular as maybe a Nick Chubb is initially. Nick Chubb's more of a home run hitter.
Will Eagles wide receiver Devontae Smith have over or under 725.5 yards receiving this season?
I think he'll be under. Jalen Hurts has 4 starts. I don't like the competency of the head coach. They also, Philadelphia throws to their tight ends a lot. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. They also, Travis Fulgham's become a real player. They drafted a first-round receiver last year, Jalen Reagor. So he's got some competition. I think you can use him on a lot of stuff. He may get some bubble screen stuff out in the flat. I don't see Jalen Hurts sitting in the pocket throwing dimes downfield to him. I don't know if they have that offensive line. Right now it's gotten older.
Will Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase have over or under 1,069.5 yards receiving this season?
Barring an injury, this feels like a really easy one to me. This is an over. So he's a home run hitter. When he was at LSU, this is a pretty amazing stat, that 85% of his college catches were touchdowns or first downs. So he is a big play wide receiver. And let's be honest about this. Joe Burrow loves to throw the deep ball. So, and Zach Taylor loves to call deep ball throws.
And they've played together before.
Yeah. So this is one of the Najee Harris under 900 yards and Jamar Chase over 1,000 yards. And again, Cincinnati's going to be trailing in a lot of football games. So what happens when there's 8 minutes left, you trail and have the ball. People go into softer dime packages. They give you easy receptions. So I think this kid's going to be a star day one. By week one, two, and three, you will have one of the better deep threats in the league.
Will Dolphins wide receiver Jalen Waddle have over or under 730.5 yards receiving this season?
This is the toughest one on the board. Toughest one on the board. First of all, Miami's got other good players, and Tua's not a guy that lights it up. I think he's going to be really good. I'm going to say under for these reasons. It's a very good defensive. Robert Saleh, you're going against McDermott and Belichick. So it's a very good defensive division. Great coaching. Secondly, Tua does not throw for a lot of yards. I think he was 30th last year of quarterbacks in yards per game. The other thing is, one of the things Miami's actually done pretty well and didn't need to draft a ton to, although I think Jalen Waddle's a good pick, is they got good receivers. Mike Gesicki's a good tight end. Will Fuller, Devontae Parker. So they're not going to rely on him. And I don't, like Devontae Smith, I can see some stuff underneath, but I don't think you want to build an offense where you're asking Tua to sit back there for 4 seconds and go downfield all the time. So, and that division doesn't allow a lot of that. There's good secondaries in that division. So I say under.
Finally, will Falcons tight end Kyle Pitts have over or under 7.5 touchdown receptions this season?
Now, you would think that would be a big over because I think Kyle's going to be great. But you got to remember, for a tight end, 8 touchdowns is a lot. I'm going to say under, and I think he's going to be really good. They got Julio Jones. They got Calvin Ridley. They have Hayden Hurst, the tight end. They have Russell Gage. This is a really good receiving core. So, I mean, one of the reasons you could have passed on Kyle Pitts is we really don't need production from targets. You also have a rookie and a rookie head coach. It's going to take a while to get it going. In that division, you play a really good defense in Tampa twice. He's probably not going to pop against Tampa. Only 4 tight ends ever have had over 8 touchdowns in a rookie year. And Hunter Henry, Rob Gronkowski, Junior Miller, and Mike Ditka. So it's just, I think it's hard to get in the end zone for touchdowns. And I don't think, if you told me right now he's going to have 980 yards, 6-7 touchdowns, be rookie of the year or first or second, that's an amazing year. First year head coach, rookie tight end, new offense, going to take him a while in that division. Plus you got the Saints play real defense. And the Bucs play real defense. That's 4 of your 17 games right there. Yeah. It really does matter, though. Like Jamar Chase, Cincinnati's going to trail in a lot of their games. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, is going to have over 22 touchdown passes. They're going to trail in a lot of their games. So the Jags over under, you guys could look it up. I bet it's 6.5. So what's that tell you? In 17 games, 10 or 11 of them, you trail late. Because generally, Vegas is, you know, those numbers are pretty accurate.
What are you doing with that over-under?
I would go over. I think they're going to be competent, not good. I think the two drafts that I thought, Matt Rhule in Carolina and Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer took a couple of guys who had had injuries. Matt took a couple of guys with personality red flags. But in both of them, I felt there was a real direction. I thought Jacksonville got much more dynamic offensively, and I thought Carolina, between Sam Darnold and their picks, got much more athletic. So those were good drafts. I still think Kansas City, Cleveland, and the Chargers, if you combine, I don't grade drafts. I take your free agency and your top 2 or 3 draft picks. That gives me more accuracy, and I thought the Browns, the Chiefs, and the Chargers crushed. But in terms of just drafts, I kind of like sometimes, Joy, show me a direction. Like, that's my problem. Like I keep saying with the Raiders, this is your 4th draft. Your defense is still bad. That tells me you don't. I mean, you can solve in two drafts, you can solve a side of the ball.
Yeah.
And like last year, Carolina went all in on defense. It didn't solve it. It's a cornerstone. They're probably next, because this year they want all in on offense. So Carolina needs to go back to the defense. But I mean, the Raiders, we're on year four now. It's still an atrocious defense. You can solve occasionally a unit. Like Cleveland, I think, solved their secondary. The Chargers solved their offensive line. It's hard to solve a side of the ball in an offseason, an entire side. But good God, Gruden, Mayock, it's year four. I still didn't like the draft. So we'll see. By the way, enjoy spa-like comfort. Save big on your water bill with a Navien tankless water heater. Go tankless with Navien. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. And the supplement I take every morning, M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science. Go to mdriveformen.com, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. My top 10, I put it up. My first top 10, post-free agency and post-draft. I feel very good about it. The top is very easy. The bottom, not as easy. I'll do it. Here we go. We got Packers, 10, Baltimore, 9, Rams, 8. I didn't love their draft. Chargers, 7, Niners, 6. Cleveland will be really good, but very young in the back end early in September. Seattle, 4. They did win 12 games. Buffalo, I love everything they do, 3. Kansas City, 2. And Tampa, 1. There you go. That's my first.
The first herd hierarchy.
Listen, I don't know if the Brandon Staley can coach for the Chargers. I don't know. And I don't know. I put Green Bay 10. They're a mess right now. I don't know if the culture's been ripped apart, but we'll see. And can Garoppolo stay healthy? All right, we'll see you tomorrow. It's the Herd.